That message of that song. Take your Bibles into Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. While you're turning there, I'll mention to you tonight we're going to be voting on three missionaries. The Stevens and the Von Bergens were both with us during the missions conference, and we were suggesting to take them up for support. And then the Hodges were here while I was gone. I've heard wonderful things about Joseph Hodges and his presentation, and take him on for support as well. And then I will also be dealing with deacons, Chad, Ernie, and Ken. We're all renominated, and Devin Foster was put on to take Bill's last year. So if you'll think about them, and then Nancy Vandergriff for church clerk. Mark chapter 4 is where we are. I forgot to tell you, by the way, the bad part about the second service is that, you know, I've kind of heard the music and stuff, so I'm kind of back and forth talking to people, and it gives me this really good opportunity to go into my office and open this little container that somebody gave me that's chock full of homemade peanut butter fudge. So I've wiped off about one or two pieces of peanut butter fudge since the beginning. So if my throat gets all clogged up, you'll know why. And that's good stuff. Mark chapter 4. We're looking at this concept of learning how to deal with life. Have you realized that life is difficult sometimes? That life goes through, by the way, welcome to those of you online. That life goes through some storms. And here in this story, the disciples are going to go through a storm. And they have to figure out how to endure with it. And it's going to be a challenge for them. The challenge is that Jesus uses this as a way to teach them. He's really very kind about it. But he does ask a question we're going to deal with as we read this story. Verse 35 is where we're going to start. "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" In verse 40, he asks this question: "Why are you so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith?" Father, we ask as we meet together and look at this passage and recognize our own storms and difficulties and trials that we might be facing, help us to consider why it is that we're so afraid and why it is that we're struggling to have faith, and help us to set our fears aside and allow you to give us faith. And we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These storms that, you know, life is just a stormy mess. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it seems like we go from, get out of one thing and we go back to, right now we're all like, we're seeing finally the winds are starting to slow down and die out, and the waves are calming down, and people are getting vaccinated. The virus is not quite as prevalent in everybody's minds. I heard two or three people saying, just a few weeks, we can take these masks off. And I said, you can take them off anytime you want here. But, you know, it is just what it is. We're looking forward to that day in which we're finally set free from that, right? But we all know, those of us who have been around a little bit, we all know that shortly on the heels of the COVID virus, once it's gone, something else is right there, right? I mean, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's a constant challenge for us to have to figure out how to deal with life's issues. And here are the disciples, and they're trying to figure out how to deal with life's issues. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions and get you to help me out a little bit. What do you think it is in this scenario? It's just a few short verses there. Read it again. What do you think it is that made them so afraid? What are they so afraid of? There's some obvious things, so go ahead and jump out with the obvious ones. Well, for one, yeah, they're afraid of falling out of the boat, right? They're afraid of just, this boat has got to get me to the other side, and now this boat is being tossed about by winds and waves, and what's going to happen? And by the way, I know you're going to laugh, but it is true. Ever since I saw Jaws back in the 19, whatever it was, back in the Dark Ages, I struggle to get in deep water. I'm just being honest. It's like, okay. I mean, even if I'm like out in a lake and we're going to do some skiing or something like that, I'd once I'm on top of the water, I'm fine. But Man, as long as my feet are dangling, I'm just constantly thinking, wonder what's under that water, you know? That's crazy. I know it is, but I want to stay in the boat. That's for sure. Stay in the boat. What else are they afraid of? What's making these people so afraid? Drowning. Carest thou not that we perish? I mean, they're afraid they're going to die. And if you're afraid you're going to die, that's probably going to bring about some fears, right? In fact, many people, this has been the big struggle of the last 12 months, is this fear that something's going to creep into our bodies and kill us. And we've got to try to get to the other side. And so there's that fear that they were dealing. What else? Loss of control. They have absolutely no control over what's going on. The wind, the waves, everything's just kind of pushing them along. And now think this through in life, right? You guys are making the good connections already. You know how this works. Sometimes in life, you're afraid you're going to die. We just mentioned that. But probably the bigger one that we would deal with would be this right here, right? Loss of control. Most of us, especially us guys, we have this thing in our nature that nobody's going to tell us what to do, right? And it's just a struggle for us. And all of a sudden, when we feel like we're out of control and we no longer can determine our own destiny, then, you know, life begins to throw us that curveball. What else? Oh, carest thou not? What if Jesus doesn't care enough to do what is necessary to get them through this storm? That's a good one. Anything else? Fear of the unknown. Are we going to make it or not? Fear of the unknown. What's going to happen next? The boat's full. The waves are tossing. The wind is blowing. What's going to happen next? Fear of the unknown. Helpless. They're just helpless and becoming hopeless, right? They're helpless and they're losing all hope. There's one little line in there I think is an interesting line. It says, and the boat was full. I mean, think about this for a moment. Have you ever felt like that you can't add, God, if you add one more thing, I'm done? Have you ever felt like that? That my boat is full. I've taken on as much water as I can take. Anything else that happens in this life of mine is going to send me to the bottom of this ocean that we're in, right? That's where they're at. The boat was full. It is interesting, too, that the Bible actually says, and there were little boats. You ever felt like, you know, God, if I had the money that guy over there has, if I had the family that guy over there has, I could make it through this situation. But I'm just in this little boat, God, and I don't have enough to get me to the other side. And that's where these disciples are. They're really struggling. I mean, they're afraid, and their concern is that Jesus isn't concerned. And so a lot of things going on. As we think about our life, you know, just this is where they are, and I want you to stop and think about this. So the question then comes is, Jesus says, why are you so afraid, right? Jesus asks them this question. Why are you so afraid? Why aren't you just trusting me instead of being so afraid? So here's my next question to you. I love these kinds of sermons because you really preach them. I just get to stand up here and kind of work it through. So here's the next question. What was true in their life? What did they have? What did they know that should have made them not afraid? Oh, you know what? We're in Mark chapter 4, and it's early in the book of Mark, I know. But if you go back to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 3, you know what they saw? They saw Jesus toe-to-toe with the devil during the temptation and win the battle. They saw Jesus come in contact with demon-possessed people, cast the demons out, send the demons away, and leave that person whole. They saw Jesus work miracles by healing people from sickness and blindness and lameness. They saw Jesus change water into wine. They saw Jesus. Look, all the things that they've already seen by the time you get to Mark chapter 4. Things that they already know about Jesus should be enough to keep them from being afraid. So help me here. What do you know about Jesus? What have you seen Jesus do? Somebody tell me, what's something you've seen Jesus do in your life? Not somebody else over there, but what have you seen Jesus do? Save me from death. Jesus is death, and by the way, it could be salvation spiritual salvation too, but maybe it is that somebody has seen God literally step in and heal you and raise you up. Or maybe it's that God saved our soul and we know that we're going to live forever in heaven because we've trusted Jesus Christ our Savior. What have we seen Jesus do that when life gets rough, and it is going to, because man is born to trouble, sparks fly upward. When life gets rough, if rather than focusing on the winds and the waves and the full boat, if I would remember what I know about Jesus, what's something else you've seen Jesus do? He's gotten you through homelessness. Brother John's been homeless before, and here he is now. He's got a home and a wife and family, and look at that. Something else. What have you seen Jesus do? Say it. Pulled you out of the pig pen. I'm not going to comment, Johnny. I'm just kidding. So we've all been there, right? We hit rock bottom, and it's our own doing, right? It's our own doing. We've made a mess of our lives, and our life is now, our boat is now full, but it's full because we didn't bother to patch the holes. And God reaches down and pulls us up because he loves us. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 40, he brought me up out of the miry clay and set my feet up on a rock, right? Wow, what a tremendous thing. Somebody else, what have you seen Jesus do? Being able to pay it forward. God gives you the opportunity to be a blessing to someone else. And you've seen God provide for you in such a way that you can pay it forward. Wow. We could keep going, right? If we would, in the middle of a storm, rather than, and that's what Jesus is asking the disciples, why are you so afraid? You know what I've done. You know who I am. And once you know this about me, you're with me, right? I'm here with you. Guess what I'm doing? I'm sleeping in the back of the boat. I'm not afraid. We're in this thing together. And you've got something that you can count on. Another reason why they shouldn't be afraid is because of things that Jesus said. So tell me something God has said to you that would take away your fears. I'm not talking about those audible, like, you know, driving down the street. And I'm just talking about, what has God said that we can hold on to in the middle of our storm? He will never leave us nor forsake us, right? Hebrews 13:5. He has promised to, guess what? When your boat is full and the wind is blowing and the waves are tossing your life around, Jesus is there. In fact, Jesus was there then, right? And Jesus is completely at ease. Because he knows. Remember the song that Mia and Josh were singing? It was that he knows the end that he has planned for us. I know the thoughts I have to you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. What else were you going to say? You know what he says to us sometimes, like the Apostle Paul? Sometimes, like the Apostle Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. What has Jesus said that you could count on that would help you get through a storm? He didn't say it just like that, right? But he does say, don't worry, I got it. He says it in ways like this. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He says things like this, I can, or you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Right? This is the God that we know and serve. This is the God that we love. Life is going to get rough sometimes. It is. Part of the reason for that is because God's trying to get us to get our eyes off of this world, off of the water and the waves and the wind, and set our affections on things above. We live for something greater than what this life has to offer. And when we get our eyes back on the things of God, it's amazing how quickly sometimes those things can begin to disappear. Say it again. That's exactly right. God is the prize. And we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why are we so afraid? Why are we so afraid? we have something to put our faith in based on what, by the way, in this story, what did Jesus say? In this story that we just read, Mark chapter 4, what did Jesus say that they should hang their hat on? He did say have faith, but what did Jesus say before that? Take a look at the first verse we read, verse 35. It says, Jesus says unto them, let us pass over to the other side. What did Jesus just say? Hey, guess what? Guess where we're going? We're going to the other side. They get halfway across and they're like, are we going to make it? Hello, what did Jesus say? We're going to go to the other side. That's what Jesus said, right? We're going to get to the other side. If you and I would remember what we know about our God, how much he loves us. You know, this God of ours loves us so much that he saved us, that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay the payment for our sin so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If he loves me that much, then when life gets difficult, do you think he's going to desert me? Do you think he's going to walk out? He loved me so much that he let his son die for me, but he doesn't love me enough to get me to the other side? We've got to focus on what we know about this God, and then we've got to hang on to those promises, trust what he has said. So now let's make this very practical or very personal here. The question is this: what kind of storm are you going through? And maybe you're not going through a storm right now, but maybe you just got through going through one, or maybe you think you might be heading into one, or here's what I know, whether you know it or not. If your life is all calm and hunky-dory right now, hang on, because man is born to trouble, sparks fly upward. And so trouble is probably around the corner. I'm not trying to scare you, I'm not. It's that this is what this life is. This is why we look forward to a better life in heaven, right? This life is, it doesn't have a whole lot to offer, but So my question is, what kind of struggle are you going through? Maybe your struggle is financial. Maybe you have just been handed a major bill and you're trying to figure out how in the world you're going to make ends meet. And it's overwhelming. Your boat is full. You're looking at it and you're saying, I cannot pay any more per month than I am paying right now. I'm already robbing Peter to pay Paul. I can't make this work. And now there's another one. And so it's just winds and waves coming into this full boat. And God, what am I going to do? I'm going to remember what I know about God. This God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. This God who, if I will seek first the kingdom of God, will add all these things unto me. This God who knows how to take care of his children. And so he gives to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This God is the God that I'm facing. So when the bills mount up, I still have the same God riding the boat. It's time now to quit fearing and let faith step in. To know, to understand, or to remember what I know about God, and then to rely on it. How about marriage? Maybe your marriage is having some issues. Maybe you're struggling just, and you're sitting there thinking, Pastor, I'm not sure that my marriage can endure another year like the one we just had. Our boat's filling up. The winds have tossed it about. The waves are tearing it up. By the time we get to the other side, I'm not sure we're ever going to make it, Pastor. I don't see how it happens. But then I remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Then I remember, you know, that with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And I put my faith in what I know about God, and I let fear begin to vanish, and I recognize that it's not about what I can do to get me to the other side. It's about what he can do and what he will do. And while, yes, it may be hard, but you know what, Pastor? I think our marriage is going to make it because God is greater than my marriage problems. Maybe it's a job situation, right? Maybe you don't have one, or maybe you want a different one, or, you know, I don't know. Just keep filling in the blank. But I know jobs can have all kinds of... I am so thankful for the job that I have, because in my job, I don't know why all of you don't want to be pastors. I'm very serious. Being a pastor is like, it's everybody's dream job. You know, I don't punch a clock. Now that also means that, you know, I might get that 2 o'clock in the morning phone call. I know that, but I never get into routine. My days are never the same. You know, it's not like I just go into work and what is that? Remember that old commercial? It's time to make the donuts. You guys remember that one? That's not my life. Every day is different. I get to play games with your teenagers, and I get to go on trips with the, you know, with the college students, and I get, you know, I just keep filling the blank. This is my job, and I love it. But maybe that's not true for you. Maybe for you, your boat is full, and you're thinking to yourself, if I have to go in for another day, I'm never going to make it to the other side. And you're shaking the master saying, don't you even care? And the answer is yes, he does. And he's promised to get us to the other side. Amen. We need to trust him. Let the fear go away. Maybe it's a sin problem. Maybe it's a pastor. I've got this sin issue. It's gotten its grips on my soul, and I cannot seem to shake it. And I don't think I'm going to make it, Pastor. Well, I would remind you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Right? And so that's what's coming our way. Maybe it's your health. I don't know what your health is. You know, we've all been concerned about our health, right? But I don't know what your health is. Maybe you're dealing with things that, you know, just... You say, Pat, you know, you're sitting there thinking, God, if you give me one more thing, my boat's going to sink. It's full. It's full. I can't take just one more thing. And then invariably, one more thing comes along. And there you are. What are you going to do? I'm going to remember what I know about my God. And I'm going to remember what the things that my God has said. And I'm going to choose to go through this journey by faith and not by fear. I'm going to watch God do what only God can do to bring me to the other side. It's going to be amazing. Maybe it's heartache. Maybe your heart's been broken. I don't know. Whatever it might be, you're going through a storm. Remembering what you know. Somebody tell me, you know, well, we already, I'm not going to do that again. I'll take up too much time if I'm not careful. So remember what he said. As we're facing these storms. But take a look down, if you would, please, down at verse 41. Because let me show you something. This is amazing. This is the final result. Jesus, in verse 40, he calms the storm, right? In verse 40, he asked them why they're so fearful. Because in verse 39, verse 39, he rose up and rebuked the wind and said, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And then he asked them the question, why are you so afraid? Don't you realize I could have done this at any time? And I'm doing it now just for your benefit. When we get down to verse 41, it's an amazing thing. Because they went from being afraid to being afraider. I know that's not a word, but I just said it anyway. Look at verse 41. It says, and they feared exceedingly. But now it's different. And this, folks, is where we need to get to. If we can get to this point, we're going to get to the other side pretty easily. Because they did not fear the storm any longer. Now they were looking at Jesus, and they feared exceedingly, saying to themselves, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? You recognize that the God that is with us in the middle of that storm, whatever the storm is, money obeys his voice. Relationships obey his voice. Do you see this? This God of ours, he is not afraid of the storm because he is in charge of it. And when you and I are sitting there in this boat and we are so afraid thinking it's going to sink, we need to remember who it is that's with us, the things that he said, and then if we can become more afraid of his awesome power, than of the world's. Boat makes it to the other side.